Let me get the recording going. I almost didn't. All right. So what are we coaching on then?
Okay. So we're coaching on expectations. That kind of seems to be a theme that we're talking about, and expectations of things like when things are going really good and you're expecting it really well and things are going good. And then when they're not, and kind of the highs and lows of it, that seems to be like what we're all just coming back to, I guess, maybe. So we're like, we all seem to be doing really good. And so that we almost seem to have a, but we're doing good. We're doing way better than we used to. That's like a justification that's come up collectively quite a bit of, you know, oh, well, you know, we're better than we used to. I mean, we weren't doing that 30 pounds ago, 40 pounds ago, but really like we all want to level up to the next level up. So what do you do? How do you change your thoughts? How do you up your thoughts when you want to, but you're like, you're almost still in like old mentality just a little bit, but you're kind of like in the middle way between.
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to identify if you've got any current mentality. It doesn't even really matter about your old mentality. It's more like, what is your current mentality around the level up? Like, what do you make it mean to level up? Is that something you look forward to? Is it something that you feel like you have to? That's always first thing when it comes to doing that. One thing you said, I'd love to address this is the, but we're doing so much better than we used to mindset, right? That is the way we know if that is a thought that actually works for you is that you're doing it not to justify, like you're saying it to give yourself credit and acknowledgement that you're moving forward versus I'm doing so much better than I used to justify and excuse current behavior.
Right.
And when you look at it, like just be really honest with yourself, say the reason why I'm saying this and the reason why I'm thinking this, what motivating feeling does it have for it? Like, what is it that it's doing? If it's given me relief from judgment, then we just need to like not judge ourselves and then honestly look at what we're doing and just be like, yeah, it's better, but it's not the result. It's not going to get us where we want to go. Versus there are a lot of times, like we have a lot of people who are newer in the group right now. The way that they're showing up now is so much significantly better than 3 months ago. And they need to live in that. They need to appreciate that. They need to learn how to celebrate those wins and use that as a compassionate way to move forward through mistakes. So I just wanted to mention that because that comes up a lot and I don't really need to coach you on it, but
right.
So why do you guys want to level up?
Because we just want to like be our best. I mean, we just want to like, we're excited about April camp. We're going to get to all meet each other at April camp. So we're like setting goals that we're, you know, to do for that. We just want to just really, there's just like a new fire within us, I guess. And most of us are doing good. I myself have been on not a plateau. I don't like using that word, but I have been maintaining like a boss around 195. And I really thought if I was going to get on a coaching call, I was going to talk about that. But about a week ago, I think I figured out what it was. I went back. I realized that when I first started, I was on fire. Like I started in May and June and July and August. I mean, it was just fantastic. It was so great that I didn't even look back and think, I was like, not that I didn't have any mistakes, but I thought it was few and far between, actually. I went back and actually looked at all of mine. I had like huge stack for 2018. I was looking through, I was like, oh, I overate here. Oh, I made a mistake there. Oh, look, I did do this. All of the little mistakes that I made, but I was, I don't know, enjoying the journey so much. And I thought that maybe I've plateaued in my excitement. Maybe this is just where it gets level or gets. But in all of that reading, I had an aha moment about a week ago. I realized that I've been so focused on my hunger scale, on the not going past a +2, waiting for my sigh, stopping, leaving 2 bites behind. I've been so focused on that. I was kind of ignoring my -2. And
okay.
When I thought I should, I should probably eat now, and not really listening to my hunger cues and then when I had to go long and my stomach actually like rumbled a little bit and then like really rumbled, I went, oh my gosh, that's your -2. I have missed you. I haven't heard you in a while.
Well, that's the important part of keeping data is that you can quickly identify what you need to zero in on and focus on. And it's probably for you, just that one little thing is going to be enough to get you moving again.
I think so. We'll see. Friday is going to be my first, like, I was like, when I realized it like on Saturday, I think, after the weigh-in. So I was like, oh my God, you guys, this is it. It's going to happen now. But then, I don't know, maybe it will. I've got this trip over, you know, there's my exception will be tomorrow night. We'll see how it plays out. But I'm just, my mindset is different. And I feel like I'm back in that excitement. So even being back in that excitement, it's like, okay, now I really want to look back at all the, just the little things that I've been telling myself. And, you know, the I've been doing so much better. I've been like, and so we've really just been talking about that a lot. How do you level up for your last half of?
I think it's really just a matter of already doing what you're doing. You have to, you do need to look at your data, and you need to look at it. You know, everybody is going to be able to lose weight up to a certain point, and then their body is going to kind of get conditioned to the level at which they were losing weight. This happened to me probably 5 times over 100 pounds. About every 20 pounds required me to reinvent myself just a little bit. Like, I didn't have to become like, all right, I got to throw it all out and start over again. I had to like really look at and say, okay, the next 20, I need to add more vegetables. The next 20, you know, I need to start drinking more water. I need to, whatever it was that I was going to do for the next 20. I just always was looking at like watching the scale. And I noticed about every 20 pounds for me meant it was time for me to figure out the next exciting thing that I was going to embrace when it came to being a healthy person. And I swear, that is how I thought about it all the way down. Like, I had never in my life ever dieted. The only time that I tried to lose weight was from shame and disgust. And like, I'm going to have to just, I'm such a terrible human for being overweight. I need to just beat myself down with a diet. I did that for years. And then when I started really examining like what worked, this time what was so different, all of a sudden, all these moments of how I thought differently appeared to me. It's like, no wonder I lost weight this time. I actually, like, my goal was to enjoy the process. Who knew? You know? So I think for you specifically, I'm not sure about your whole group, but one of the things that you've said several times, and we've coached before, I think excitement and enjoyment factor is like really high for you. Like, it is something that really drives you and motivates you.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, I'm a very visual person. I would never say that weight loss has ever driven or excited me before, but this process has been so like mind-blowingly amazing that I am loving it. I'm loving changing my life in this factor. Like, I'm loving all of it. I do love, like, when I started, I feel really blessed that when I started, I was in a really good place. Like, I had done a lot of work on my own self to get to a place where I was really happy with who I was. This is just like exponentially made it so much more wonderful. I think that's something I was just thinking about, how one of the things I didn't like, an unexpected surprise of the tribe, was that I numbed myself with food. I know this. I numbed my feelings with food. And you've talked about this before. You're not just numbing the bad, you're numbing the good.
And right.
So the whole part, like the biggest part of the tribe, and I think why everyone probably picks up on the excitement, is that I'm feeling all the good emotions, and I get a lot overwhelmed by that. Like, sometimes I have to like back up, because all of the good feelings that I have, I just feel so much more blessed and so much more gratitude and so much more appreciation and so much more, all the good is coming in. So I don't know. So that's all new to me, actually, since finding the tribe. I mean,
and that can be hard for some people, because like, nobody sets out and says, I just want to have a numb life. Teach me how to have a numbed out life where I don't really feel anything. But when you do start experiencing all your emotion, you know, when you feel really good, you also risk feeling really bad,
right?
You know, because like, that means you could lose things and stuff, but then you would have never gotten the opportunity to enjoy them. So I just think for you, because if you like being excited about the journey, then start thinking about when you're busting your plateaus, when you're moving forward and stuff, thinking about, how can I keep loving this? Like, what can I do today to love losing weight? What can I do today to love this journey? How can I be excited about it today? Like, and a lot of times for me, when I was losing weight, that was coming down to trying new things. I still remember when I first started taking a stab at the food prep, you know, so many people get overwhelmed by it and all this other stuff. I literally got so excited that I was going to try it. I thought about the kind of person who food preps. I thought about like what it would mean to be the kind of person that would food prep. And I spent a lot of time like just thinking about it in such a like, this is badass. Like, oh my gosh, that when I was learning how to do it and not good at it, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see it as a chore. I didn't see it as like anything like that. I just saw it as something exciting to try. So it was like every week I looked forward to trying it again and seeing what I could do to make it easy, to make it fun, to do all those kind of things.
Right.
I think we forget weight loss can be fun.
It can be amazing.
We're never taught that. They just teach us that it's like the only fun part of weight loss is the day that you get to go eat a cheeseburger. It's like, that's not the fun part.
That's not the fun part. It can be fun because I found an amazing burger and fries place.
But hate that we teach that the only fun part of weight loss is when we finally get to have a meal that we ate when we were gaining weight.
Yeah, or a cheat meal. The cheat meal or the idea of, I understand that. And I'm more like aware of people talking about that now and the things that people do. And I just want to go, oh, honey, just come to the tribe. I just want to tell everyone about it. I just want to. Okay. Here's another question. Here's another thing that I've been kind of working on with, you know, talking about. I don't know if it's been recently in the lives or some old ones that I'm listening to. I know I've been listening to a couple from this past summer. The one that you did on your birthday, the things that you learned after losing 100 pounds, and you were really emotional in that one too. You were just like bawling left and right, and I loved that.
Was that a Facebook Live?
It was. It was a Facebook Live.
You in the tribe, or was it public?
In the public, pretty girl.
I'll have to go back and listen to that.
It's beautiful. It's a great one. But I was listening to it, talking about the person you want to become. And so here was a thought that I had when I was thinking, well, who am I now, and who do I want to become? And I thought, I'm a person who works 5 days a week. You know, the days change. It varies. Some days I want to go. Sometimes I don't want to go. Most of the time when I get there, I do enjoy it because I love what I do. So that's great. Well, I can also be a person that goes to the gym every day after work. That's just what I do. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't want to go. Other times I'm really excited about it, but that's just what I do. So I'm really trying to embrace that into my identity now. I just go to the gym after work, period. And even today, I did not go to the gym, even though I was taken off. I got off work at 6 o'clock this morning and took off to Vegas. I went to the gym and I got on for 2 miles, and then I kept on going because I'm becoming this person. But in that part of the plateau before, I thought, ooh, what if working out causes me to plateau? What if it causes me to weigh? I started having like those fear thoughts, and I knew that it was, I was like, oh, that's a bullshit thought. That's a bullshit thought. And I caught myself on it. But how do I just keep catching myself on it? Do I replace it with anything? Do I just acknowledge it and go?
Acknowledge it and say, not useful. Bye. We don't always have to change thoughts and level up thoughts and stuff. I mean, sometimes we want to be creating emotion, but sometimes we just need to notice which thoughts are just crap. Right. And I'm like, okay. Like I was telling this story this morning, Chris is reading this book. I'm downloading it today so I can listen to it in the downtime of the retreat. But it's where you're going to have like lots of thoughts coming through at all times. And you can either play in the traffic. Imagine your thoughts are on the highway. And there's lots of cars racing by. You can either play in the traffic, or you can step back and watch the traffic and just acknowledge what you're seeing. And I think a lot of times when you guys are thinking about thoughts, you just want to watch what you think. And then sometimes you're going to have thoughts that you're like, I really need to change this one. I need to change this one. Sometimes you're just going to be like, well, that's a useless one. And you just throw it away. It's like, just put it in the trash. Like it just, you know, I can't believe you came back. Go back in the trash. You know, just don't be mad about them. Don't be upset about them. But, you know, thoughts don't have power until you start acting on them. Because literally they don't have any power until the action line. You can feel them and they still don't have power. They're just now your body is reverbing what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens until you act.
Right.
And then once you start getting in action, you start really believing those thoughts are true.
That's a good one though. That's a really good reminder because we have the power over our action. And if we can just stop it before the action happens, we really do have control over it, which is
where you pause. You start noticing. I think one of the best ways to do it is to make a list of like actions that you routinely do that are going to signal there's a thought error going on. There's a thought error going on. There's something in my brain not working correctly. Otherwise, I would not be acting this way. So I'm acting this way or not doing something.
Right.
Because I'm not thinking clean. I'm not thinking very clear right now. And so it just like use your actions as a way to trigger you to self-examine and to look up. The other thing too is just when you recognize actions that you don't want to be doing or whatever, when you start noticing yourself wanting to do them, that's where you can pause and say, okay, I told myself I wasn't going to overeat anymore. I'm very committed to not overeating. So rather than just eating because I want to, I'm going to start looking at what I'm thinking about. Okay. What is it that I'm thinking about? What is it about my environment right now? Like, yeah, just get investigative immediately. So much better.
That's good. That's good.
All right, lady. Have fun in Vegas.
Thanks so much.
I'm going to my homeland.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So, yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad I was able to pop on. And I'm going to
get back. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right, let's see. We had Rena Huber, Freya O'Keefe, and Daniel Connor. Rena, if you didn't sign up for coaching, will you lower your hand just to make sure that because if your hand's raised, I'm always worried that you're one of the people who actually signed up for coaching and you just have a different name. But it's Sheila and Melanie. If you guys signed up underneath one of those names, will you let me know in the chat? Otherwise, I'm going to call on Danny next. Where's your camera?
There it is.
There you are. All right. How are we coaching on Steelers?
Oh, I need lots of coaching on. No. So I was thinking about it actually last night, and I think what I'd really like is, can you just tell me what I should do with my life?
No. You tell me what you would like to do with your life and why are you not already doing that?
I guess because I'm mostly having a hard time just figuring out what that is actually.
You live in confusion.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Why do you always choose to be so confused? Do you like it?
No, but I think I am more okay with confusion. So my fear of choosing the wrong thing, which I know there isn't a wrong thing, is greater than my discomfort and confusion.
But what if you just choose some wrong shit so that you can prove to yourself you can do some wrong shit?
Well, that's an idea.
I was literally talking to somebody about the same thing this morning. Like, just do it wrong. So that like, once you get to where you can do stuff wrong, cause you're doing it wrong now. You just don't give yourself credit for it. You're sitting around in confusion. That's a wrong choice, but somehow you're not bitching about that. You know what I mean? It's like, no, it's really in confusion because I don't have to do anything. I'm not doing anything. So that's the wrong choice. So, like,
yes.
Get in there and do something. And don't even, like, and wrong or right, I want you to just hang with me on this. Mm-hmm. It may never actually be wrong, may also never be right. Right and wrong is a decision we make, not a fact. I can go through my entire life and tell you how every single thing was never wrong. Just like I could give you, and I can also go back through my life and tell you how almost every choice I've made was the wrong one. You know, was it wrong or right that I attempted suicide?
Right.
Who the fuck knows until I decide?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Same thing's gonna happen, like you guys. You like somebody just typed in doing it wrong is scary. No, it's not. That's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't scary and it isn't wrong. There's a thought you choose that there's a right or wrong, and there's a thought you choose that it's scary or not. That's really all that happens. Like when you think about like making a choice on something, the worst thing that is literally going to happen is you will feel scared and your body will feel it. Mm-hmm. So what is it that you're like trying to decide that there's the lurking wrong is out there? Like,
one thing is, do I want to stay like in my current position at work, or do I want to try and transfer to another unit that, would definitely be more challenging?
So why do you want to transfer?
Well, because I see my unit as being the easy unit.
Mm-hmm.
And that I want to prove to myself that I could do like critical care, ICU.
And why would you stay?
Because I like a lot of the people I work with. I'm very comfortable where I am right now, and I feel good about what I do, like especially when I'm there doing it in the moment. And I've gotten good at it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's amazing to hear you say that, because I know that we worked last summer on just you admitting that there's anything good about you. So I like that you're leading with like, well, I'm good at what I do, and you know, they're bad. So that's good. Here's my thing. You have great reasons for either one. Neither one of them has a booby trap.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's going to happen is when you move to the new critical care unit, you'll have to make friends.
Yeah.
You have friends now. I'm sure you can make friends there. I don't think they're all going to be beasts. So let's just call that an equal. Like, that'll level out soon. The next is you'll get good at that too.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to pay the price of learning and discomfort and not being good at something in the beginning in order to become competent again.
Right.
And what was the other thing? Oh, and it's easy. And then one day that job will be easy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, the transferring, I would also have to interview for that position. So then there's a chance that I wouldn't get it.
Yeah. And then you get to experience interviewing, and you get to experience rejection, or you get to experience getting the job and then going through the vomit of like, oh shit, now I got what I wanted. Because a lot of people vomit when they get what they want. I'm not trying to tell you to do that, but I want you to think bigger than what I think. One of the like, there's no wrong decision, but I could, stepping away from being a coach and being more like into like, and you always talk about how I feel like you're my baby. If you were my daughter, mm-hmm. I would probably tell you, I would for sure interview.
Mm-hmm.
I would for sure do the mental work that's going to be required of you to become a new person, to be the kind of person who takes that chance. Because that's been one of the things that, like, you love comfort. You know, mm-hmm. that's one of your things. It's why it's hard for you to lose weight and stuff, is because you enjoy mm-hmm. the comfort so much. Yeah. It's why you don't clean your house. It's more comfortable to sit in it when it's not tidy. Like, I remember all of our coaching.
Yeah. Like, even doing like the pantry purge, I'm like, that's something about that is like, I feel very uncomfortable about doing that. So I haven't done it. And my goal is to do it tomorrow.
Here's what I want you to tell yourself. Tomorrow I'm cleaning out my pantry. There's no goal. I'm not going to sit. Okay. Seriously. That's not a goal. You know what tomorrow is? The day you clean out the pantry.
Okay.
That's all I want you to be thinking about. Like, this is not a goal would be to get a new career.
Okay.
Cleaning out your pantry is a to-do item.
And it's like, and we're not going to like say, we're going to try. And I know it makes me nervous and stuff. It's like, I don't need middle drop. Like, seriously, you need to just tell yourself, like, come on now, Danny. We are not going to sit here and indulge in our confusion and pretend like there's a wrong way to clean out a pantry. Like, that is just like your whole mental construct saying, let's just play it out everywhere we go. And it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you be apathetic with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I would love for you to do the next 30 days.
Okay.
I want every day for you to do something that you don't like doing.
Okay.
And you got to find something new. Like tomorrow, you're not going to like clean out the pantry.
Right.
So you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you just like, I'm just applying for this job. I can always say no if they give it to me and I decide it really isn't what I want.
Right, right.
I'm going to walk up to a rank stranger and tell them, hello, I'm Danny. I'm a great nurse. Bye. Whatever. Like, seriously, I actually gave homework to somebody one day. I said, you're going to have to go tell like 5 random people today that you're really good at this. Like, just literally walk up to them and say, hi, my name is, I'm really good at this. Like, you'll never see them again, so it doesn't matter what they think. I just want you getting comfortable talking to people about you being good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think you should do a 30-day challenge of just, like, shit I don't want to do and I'm doing it anyway.
Okay.
Like, clean out something else in your house. That could be another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even just, like, it's just, well, calling to schedule an oil change for my car. I get not so much. Well, I would probably say almost anxious. Like, not.
Like, what do I you mean? There are things like, what makes you anxious about like calling about the oil change? Like, you think what?
That. The phone conversation will be awkward. I'll say the wrong thing. Those are the two.
You just need to do 30 days of daily doing things that you don't do so that you don't have to feel something. Mm-hmm. I want 30 days of feeling bullshit you don't like to feel on purpose so that you can show yourself that's the worst that's happening. Once you get to where do it enough, those feelings start dissipating.
Mm-hmm.
Because the funny thing is, it's like, I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to have anxiety. You have anxiety about even making the call. So you're already experiencing anxiety anyway. You might as well experience anxiety while you're getting your oil changed.
Right. Right. Sure.
But that's like the thing. It's like, you need to show your brain that all these feelings you're afraid of, that you actually can just feel them and move along with life, then you can back the truck up and start saying, maybe I don't even need to feel these things because I don't need to think anymore that it will be an awkward conversation. They will be glad to take my money. You know, their thought is, I don't care what you think, I would just like the money. But you can't really open your brain up to that happening until and I talk to y'all about this all the time. Sometimes, like, when you know your problems intimately, you have to just quit modeling and quit working on your thoughts and diddling over there. And you have to start doing and proving all these narratives wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is pantry day.
Okay.
And Friday is apply for the job day. And then on Saturday, we're gonna call and get our oil changed. And then I will let you come up with the rest of the month.
Okay.
You should start this challenge and just say, everybody watch my coaching call. I've been challenged to do 30 days of shit I don't want to do and to feel a bunch of shit that I avoid. I'm like, yay, somebody find, y'all go find you an open call. It'll be good. I swear you will feel so much better at the end of the month because you will have gotten a lot done and you'll prove to yourself that you can do way more than you give yourself credit for. And that nothing goes wrong.
Right.
Nothing ever does. Mm. Things just happen and we just decide what to think about them. All right, Lainey. Anything else? Any other problems I can solve for you?
Well, so I do have this thought a lot that I think runs in the background, especially when I'm driving to work, that's pretty anxiety producing. And then once I get there and get busy doing what I know I should be doing, it I'm actually very happy about work. But the thought is, if I'm not perfect, which I know I'm not, nobody's perfect, then either like somebody's child is going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the most, I guess, sometimes it's not always die, but like that's kind of the running.
But you know that's not true, right?
Yes. I know I work with the team and I mean, I know it, and I know it's just a thought, but just like I work with a team.
You could run over a child on the way to work.
Yeah.
I could run over a child on the way to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a purpose behind thinking about that? Does it serve a useful purpose to think, oh my gosh, I better be perfect today because I'm going to kill some kid?
No.
Catch yourself doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where like you intellectually know that is like a very poisonous thought that you're emotionally attached to, but intellectually mm-hmm. you're smart enough to know it's like, it's really some bullshit. Like there's a team involved. The likelihood of me making a mistake that kills someone's kid is slim to none. Like if I had to guess, knowing you, you're probably pretty conscientious about your work. And the fear goes away when you go to work and you get into action.
Right. Yeah.
So we know it's just a thought because you don't like sit there and think about it all day long. You're just driving yourself crazy on the way while you're driving, literally. This is when you start focusing on, like literally you just need to like say, I don't think that anymore. Here's what I'm going to think about. I'm going to get my brain busy right now on thinking about I save children's lives. I'm kind of guessing you save a lot of kids' lives, but you're so worried about this one you might kill one day. So let's just think about what's actually happening, which is you showing up and saving lives every day.
Uh-huh.
Or focus over there, because what we focus on expands. So maybe we'll save even more lives the more that we give ourselves credit for it.
Okay.
But literally, this is one of those things where you're going to have to just notice that you do it and like stop doing it. It's just like you'll never quit overeating if every single day you overeat. You have to train your brain the same way to quit thinking about this by not allowing it to keep thinking it. So it may take like 75 redirects in the car for about a month or two before that thought pattern gets exhausted. And your brain, if you're not indulging in it, it will retire that. It's only going to keep things that you keep allowing it to repeat. So you're going to have to do the conscious stopping of it and be like, no, we don't think about that. We're thinking about the lives that we do save. Like literally take your brain to a place of you remembering the last kid that was sick and that you helped. Like allow your brain to like play with that a lot.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because I think it's, all right, this thought doesn't probably help me very much, but it's like, it's so ingrained that I notice the feeling before I notice the thought.
Yeah. No,
like I'm driving very and normal. I start to, okay.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect. It's just like, that's why you have to get really, like, you're going to have to notice when you're having that feeling and you're going to have to say, this, because I'm thinking this. Eventually what will happen is the more aware you get of that and redirecting it, you'll hear the thought before the feeling starts coming up.
Okay.
It's just a, like, it's just like anything. For a lot of us, we feel like, I get angry. There's certain things that will happen. Like, something will happen and then I'll get angry. And there's always thoughts that come up, but because anger is such an easy one for me, like, I have to, like, ooh, I'm angry, and I have to think about what I was thinking about because they just come in so fast. But there's always a thought there. We're never just getting a feeling because something happens. We're always, sometimes it just happens so fast, you have to slow it down to figure out what is going on.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Let me know if you apply for that job. I want to hear about it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do application day. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Freya, you're next. Is Rena here? Hey, Rena, not be a no-show. Oh my gosh. I wish I had brought my water in here. I'm so thirsty. Left it in the other room. A baby. Oh my God. I'm going to yell. Precious. Yes.
Oh, he's good. He just fell asleep. So.
Will he wake up if I'm like my normal self?
No, because I'm probably just as loud, if not more. So.
Okay. Okay. It'll be really hard for me to concentrate. You know this, right?
You want me to just put the blanket over
him? No. But your baby is like a shiny object.
So I was, well, I am doing the 24-hour planning and stopping my overeats. But what I found is that I'm, and this is a little embarrassing for me, I'm sneaking food. Mm-hmm. So I changed our habit. So we all eat at the dinner table every night now. But I notice I'm the first one that volunteers to take the dishes back to the kitchen, because if I do that, I can like sneak a bite of my kids' food, or, you know, take a bite out of the pan and no one can see me.
Who are you not wanting to see?
My husband.
And why is that?
Because he knows I'm working really hard at losing weight and I don't want him to see me messing
up. But you're totally okay with you seeing yourself sneak food. The one person that really matters, it's okay if you see it, but just not anyone else.
Yeah, isn't that dumb? I don't know.
Not dumb, it's how we think about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed the behavior, so.
So this makes it.
But I don't get it. No, there's no benefit. I'm just cheating myself. And I've been rocking these plans.
You're around yourself, like right in front of your face, no less. It's like you're having an affair. It'd be like you having an affair and telling your husband, hey, I need you to come watch this. I'm going to like fuck this other dude. You're doing this with your diet. You're just looking at your diet going like, I know we have this plan, but I'm just going to go over here and like grab ass on this guy right in front of your face plan.
Gosh. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean,
why do you need
was about to do it last night and I was like, what am I doing? And then my brain was like, come on, just take this bite. Like no one will know.
Yeah. And that's when you just tell yourself, but I will know.
I did. I actually walked back in because I don't have my open concept kitchen yet. So I walked back into the dining room and I told him, please put that portion, that rest of that food out into containers and put it away because I have to stop.
Yeah. I want you to
and he's awesome. He'll like help
that up. Moment, I want you to like when you do things like that, here's what I want you to build in your mind that you're not like you're kind of on the brink of like trying to make yourself into a hot mess and a problem. Like you don't have control. Like there's things going on. It's like, no, you went in, you told your husband to do it because it would make it a lot easier for you to make a better choice. Period. Yeah. That's what's happening. No, I don't know what else is going on in that brain of yours, but it didn't look like it was that answer. It looked more like,
I'm sneaking food. I have a problem. I'm not really sure what's going on. I really need you to do this now because I don't know if I can be around all this.
Why does everyone want a problem? I don't want to be that person that wants to have a problem, but it does kind of sneak into your life a little bit.
We are all the people that have a problem. Like, that is like your job. Like, the best thing that ever happened to you was joining PNP, because now you get to know what nobody else knows. That's how everyone's brain works. And we learn how to watch our brain. Like, our brain is like that guy. Toddler. It's lazy, wants to sleep on somebody's tit all day. It's just like,
it really does.
Yeah, it's either I just want to be doing nothing and sleeping and just being unconscious with you, or I want to be screaming at the top of my lungs because I want something and you won't give it to me right now. I have a feeling he has a pacifier for a reason. Sometimes he screams.
Yeah. Well, the first wouldn't take one, so I made sure this one would.
Well, the thing is, though, is that what you're learning is your job is not to have the perfect brain. Your job is to notice how imperfect your brain is and rebuild it to where it works better for you. You just found another spot that your brain is trying to create a lot of stuff, but I want you to not buy into this as a problem.
Okay.
This is not a problem. This is something you've noticed that is easily fixed.
And that I'm changing.
Yeah.
Just changing my patterns of thinking.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Like, I sneak food because my husband knows I'm trying to lose weight. It would be normal for me to not be proud and loud to say, like, look, I'm just going to stuff food in my face. Is that all right with you? No, we naturally, that there's a desire. When we think something's wrong, we try to hide if we're going to do it. The problem is you've just never thought to tell yourself, but I will know. It doesn't matter what everybody else knows. It matters what I know. And I know I didn't plan this. And I also know I'm smart enough to realize that right now, it would be a lot easier for me to make food changes when my husband's helping me out.
Yeah. He is helping me out a much more... joining PNP has been, well, like, I mean, everyone else says it too, but it's pretty incredible. A coworker joined with me and I didn't realize this, but I feel like I just kind of woke up. I feel like I was going through life kind of numb. Yeah. And when I took away the overeating, which took like a week of adjusting my 24-hour plan until I stuck to it, all these feelings started, I just started feeling everything. And I had like an emotional breakdown. I cried to my husband, which I never do. But it's just, I was like, I don't know if I'm depressed. I don't know if I'm happy. What am I? Because I wasn't feeling any of this before taking away my overeating.
Right. That's why
it almost feels like too much sometimes.
It is in the beginning. It is in the beginning because we're taking I want you to think about you. Most of us, I always like to describe it as, think about if you were in a dark room that's really cluttered, like think hoarders.
Okay.
And the lights are out and somebody said, you've got to find your way out. And all you're doing is bumping into things and like you're falling down and all this other kind of stuff. And you don't know why. All you know is you have pitch black and you're trying to find your way out. Mm-hmm. That's the way most of us are going through life. Like we just feel like things are just throwing us off. Like things are happening. I don't know why I'm falling. And we're lost and confused. And then when you join PNP, I throw the lights on. Say, the door is way over there. You're going to have to navigate all this shit.
Yeah.
But this is the work that's involved to get out if you want to get out. And it's like, you see what you have to face now. But the good news is when the lights are on and you can see what you have to face, you can construct plans. You can figure it out. Sometimes it's going to be harder. Sometimes you'll still trip over shit. Like all that will happen. But that's why in the beginning, it's like, we're all excited to be here. And then we take all the food away and it's like, oh, we got to feel our feelings. What? You're going to make me
think. I feel like I was like, and can be pretty dismissive of feelings. Like, oh yeah, it is what it is. Like kind of buck up and deal with it. And so I actually had lost 100 pounds before.
Good.
And I just did it by what?
So you know how to
do it. That's exactly what my husband said.
It's exactly the truth.
I lost it right before I met him, and I actually never told him that I was fat before. And so I just, after I joined, I told him, I was like, hey, look, like I actually used to weigh 100 pounds more before, and I'm going to do it again. And he was like, awesome. I forgot where I was going with this. I have a baby brain and I go off on tangents, but.
It's all right. It's the whole idea though of like, you're just, it's like, it, I always tell people the reason why I don't talk too much about that thought work before you join is because it'd be a really hard sell to tell everybody like, you're going to join. It's going to feel like shit for a few weeks. I'm just going to tell you, you'll be able to eat whatever you want on your plan, but you'll cry a lot. It's like no one would join. Be like, not enough for crying. I don't want to do that, you know. But you also lose a lot of mental weight, which is what you start noticing is that, you know, like when you got on the call, you were just like, oh my God, I've discovered I'm a secret eater. There, you know, who does that? There's something wrong with me. It's like, no.
Most I of didn't even know. Secret
eats. Yeah. Everybody just about, like, Kathy has talked about it several times on the podcast until we talk about it in the tribe. She's like, holy shit, I've been a secret eater all my life.
I hid it from myself.
Yeah, that's how it can be. It's like, am I doing that? But that's the thing. It's like, I want you guys to learn how to think in the most empowered way you can so that as you're uncovering these things, we just start changing how we think. We start looking at things in a new way. And then the things that we really need to feel, we don't need to feel a lot of shame, worry, and angst about being a secret eater. We need to just understand, oh, I do that. Oh, I'm going to work on this. This is not a huge problem. This is a behavior change. I'm so glad I found this.
Yeah, I was really scared to say it out loud, but it's not, I mean, there it is. It's done. So.
See, Danny and Annika, no wrong answers. When I'm talking over here, it's the comments over here. I wonder if y'all ever wonder why I'm always looking over here. I always think of, this is the crowd. This is the audience. So yeah, you're fine. You're fine. You've uncovered something you needed to uncover. You've elicited the help of your husband. You're on the right path. Keep going. That's all I got to say about all that. Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I feel like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. Rena, are you here? One last time for Rena. No, she's not here. Let's see. Sheila, because your hand's raised, are you Rena? I'm going to call on you just in case you are. Y'all, I got a pounding headache today. Ooh, I even put the natural oils on my neck, hoping that would help. Well, you don't have a screen on, Sheila. Are you Rena? Hello? Let me get this on the recording so everybody who listens can hear it. But what I'm trying to do is I've been mentioning his name a lot, James Clear from Atomic Habits, on the podcast and stuff. And what I would love to do is interview him privately inside the tribe where we could ask questions and stuff. So I emailed him, but if tribe members were reaching out to him saying, I loved your book. I heard it through Corinne Crabtree, part of PNP Tribe. She highly recommends you on the podcast. It may... increase the ability for us to get a private author reading or interview in our membership. So, which would be really cool because I've had Shira Gill on. I've had Sasha Hines who does a lot of positive psychology stuff. So if you go back through the video replays and search Sasha Hines and you search Shira Gill, and John Acuff, you'll see some of those interviews that I've done. Jill Angie has done several things for us. So I always try to see if I can find us some experts and other things to come and talk to us every now and then. But I love the book Atomic Habits, and I highly recommend it, guys. If you haven't read it, you might want to get it and listen to it. All right, that's it. I'm going to go get that water to help with my headache and probably take some ibuprofen. The last thing I need to do is start retreat week with a big fat headache. I've been threatening a migraine now for a few weeks now, so I'm not really sure what's going on. But y'all have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.